Good evening, I'm Henry Fonda.
Mr. Fonda sits in front of stills from All in the Family.
Tonight, we're going to take a look at the best of All in the Family, one of the most acclaimed and also one of the most controversial shows ever seen on television, starting with the character of Archie Bunker right down to the kind of themes the show has dealt with. Menopause, homosexuality, rape, mental retardation, cancer. Sounds like a real fun show, doesn't it? And yet we all know it is. Now, I'm not going to comment on the contribution All in the Family's made to the American scene. We all know there have been pros and cons, except to say that I wouldn't be here if I weren't one of its biggest fans. We're in Studio 41 at CBS Television City in Hollywood. You're watching Norman Lear, the creator of All in the Family, talking to the studio audience about tonight's show.
The audience sits in bleachers watching Mr. Lear at center stage.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you now to meet the cast of All in the Family. Four magnificent players, the primary players in our company, who have provided more laughter and therefore, in our opinions, have added more to our lives. I'm talking about the people, the writers, producers, actors, and technicians who work with them and have laughed with them for these 5 years. We all feel they've added time to our lives through that laughter. First, let me bring out the very wonderful young woman, the youngest member of our Bunker household, Miss Sally Struthers.
The young blonde hurries onto the set and kisses Mr. Lear.
Ladies and gentlemen, the wonderful actor, Rob Reiner.
Reiner strides across the living room set, nods to the audience, and gives Mr. Lear a hug and kiss on the cheek.
Our beloved Edith Bunker, Dean Stapleton.
Dressed in an Edith house dress, Stapleton bows to the audience and kisses Mr. Lear.
Gentlemen, Carol O'Connor.
Grinning broadly, O'Connor jogs onto the set and shares a warm hug with Mr. Lear. The four cast members stand together.
We can't, for technical reasons, for the studio audience. For the studio audience, we cannot, for technical reasons, show you the opening titles. But we did not want you to come this distance, you lovely people of our studio audience, and miss the dulcet tones of Edith and Archie as they sing the opening number. So, for all of you, they have so graciously decided to do it for you live and now.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days.
All in the Family.
And you knew where you were.
Girls and men were men. Mr. We could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
Starring Carol O'Connor, Gene Stapleton, co-starring Rob Reiner, Sally Struthers.
Great. Those were the days.
Developed by Norman Lear.
I suspect there's a little bit of Archie in all of us. That's why we can relate to him so easily and to his fears about the things he doesn't understand. Some call it his bigotry. I call it his bigotry.
This is terrible.
What's the matter with this? I call this representative government. And Salvatore, Feldman, O'Reilly, Nelson. It's an Italian, a Jew, an Irishman, and a regular American. What I call a balanced ticket.
Why do you always have to label people by nationality?
Of course, how else are you going to get the right man for the right job? For instance, take Feldman there. He's up for treasurer. Well, that's perfect. All them people know how to handle money. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Well, then you got Salvatore running for DA. He can keep an eye on Feldman. You know, I want to tell you something about the Italians. When you do get an honest one, you really got something there.
Oh, come on, Arch.
Well, and here you got O'Reilly, the Mick. You can see that the graft is equally spread around, you know? We got Nelson, the American guy. He's good for TV appearances. Make the rest of them look respectable, you know?
This is a bag to carry things in. What's wrong with that?
If you don't know, buddy, I'll spell it out for you. F-A-G, fruit.
There you go again. Just because something looks a little bit different to you, you have to put a label on it, right?
Well, if the place fits, well. Oh.
In another scene...
I'm telling you that whites should only dance with whites. You don't believe me? Look at the movies. Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, Gene Kelly and Rita Hayworth.
Shirley Temple and Bill Robinson.
That was before Shirley was old enough to know she was doing something wrong.
I guess that's when she started dancing with George Mayfield.
All right. All I'm saying is, if God had intended white people to dance with colored people,
he'd have given us rhythm, too.
In another episode...
He's talking about sex.
Josh in front of me!
Josh, that's a myth. Retarded people have no more of a sex drive than anybody else.
Oh, yeah? Then why are you on automatic all the time?
They're putting me on regular next week, but they're paying me less than they paid the man who used to run the forklift.
Oh, well, come on, Irene. After all, it's a well-known fact. Men are worth more than women.
Archie, have you been reading Playboy?
No, Irene, the Bible.
Bible?
And in the Bible, it says, God made man his own image. He made women after, from a rib, a cheaper cut.
He ain't Jewish.
Well, how do you know?
Because his name's John. Heaps don't name their kids John.
Maybe he changed his name.
No, Edith. They never do. They only change the last name. That way they know each other. You see what I mean? Two guys are going down the street, right? One says, how are you? My name is Smith. Morris Smith. See how it works? Like you got Saul Nelson. Izzy Watson.
Babe Lincoln.
I didn't know Lincoln was Jewish.
Two people arrive at their door.
How do you do? My name is George Robinson, and I represent the Gay Liberation Front.
Must be Mrs. Robinson.
No, I'm Cynthia Nash of the Daughters of Sappho. We wanted to talk to you about our candidate in today's election.
Hold it, Edith. Let me handle this, huh? Edith, don't you know what they are?
She's a daughter of Sappho and he's a gay liberator.
Step aside, will you, huh? Just let me do the talking here. Excuse me, get lost.
Archie shuts the door.
The Chinese. I mean, do they say God bless you or Buddha bless you?
You really want to know? The chinks just sneeze and say nothing. They can't speak English.
They say Buddha bless you in Chinese.
Because they don't say that. That's why. They say, they say anything at all in sayonara.
That's Japanese.
Same thing.
It's not the same thing.
What are you talking about? You put a Jap and a chink together, you're gonna tell me which is which?
That's right, because I find out about them. I talk to them as individuals.
Sure, you talk to them. You say, which one of you guys is the chink?
Archie Bunker's not one of your best listeners, which is unfortunate for him, because Edith is one of nature's born storytellers.
Oh, wait a minute. Nobody ain't nothing around here. Can I find out what went wrong at the supermarket? Now, come on, get it.
Well, I knew you liked cling pizza.
Yeah, I heard that before.
In heavy syrup.
Yeah, I heard that too.
I know. Why don't you tell me how much I've told you so far? Then I'll know where to begin.
You ain't told me nothing so far except cling peaches, which is coming out of my ears. Now, don't say them two words no more, huh? Start your story after the cling peaches and get on with it.
Archie,
I had an accident with a car.
What?
Ma, are you all right?
Did you get hit?
Oh, no. I didn't get hit. I hit the car.
Why? You don't drive.
Yeah, and even if you do, we don't have a car.
How did you hit a car?
Well, that's where the... You told me never to say those two words.
What are you trying to tell me? That you hit a car with a can of cling creature?
That's right. You see, I was coming out of the market with my shopping basket full of... And there was Mrs. Duncan with her new baby. I took a peek in the carriage, but I couldn't see the baby too well. He was all swinged up.
Will you get on with the story?
Anyway, I knew I had to say something nice about the baby, so I went, "Oh, isn't that a beautiful baby?" And when I went, "Oh," the shopping basket got away from me, rolled down the hill and smashed into this parked car and scratched the fender. And then this can of in heavy syrup jumped out and made a big dent in the hood.
Frowning, Edith sits back down at the dinner table. Archie remains frozen, staring straight ahead.
It was a freak accident.
One thing you can say about Archie, when he's confronted with a logical argument, he's never stuck for an answer.
Archie raspberries Henry Jefferson, who raspberries him right back.
Louise, we're going! Get the car!
Nothing ever changes in this crummy house.
I think Gloria was wrong there. In fact, one of the biggest changes over the years in the Bunker household has been in Gloria herself.
She wails in Archie's face.
I'm going to tell you something about my mother and me. You do not own us. We are free and equal human beings who represent half the population of this earth, the female population. And we're tired of being exploited by men, tired of you holding us down and keeping us back. And if you continue to exploit us, we're going to rise up against you someday like our black sisters and our Chicano sisters and all the other oppressed sisters. And I don't know what I'm saying anymore, but you men, you better believe it.
Here, you better read this article. It's written by a very important doctor, and he knows everything about it.
You don't know your father. When Archie hears about this, he ain't gonna love me no more.
Oh, Ma, of course he will.
Oh, I'm sorry. Imagine you having to tell me what's wrong. When I was a young girl, I didn't know what every young girl should know. Now I'm gonna be an old lady, and I don't know what every old lady should know. Gloria, I think it's time that you and me had a woman-to-woman talk about the wedding night? Yeah, about that. Okay, Ma.
Gloria sits beside Edith. Edith opens her mouth to speak.
You don't have to be embarrassed, Ma.
Oh, thank you, Gloria.
I know you just want me to be very happy.
I do.
And tonight, Michael and I will be nervous.
Yeah.
Because we're both really strangers to one another.
That's right.
And the important thing to remember is that we love and respect each other. And above all, that we treat each other with patience and tenderness tonight. Yeah. Thanks, Ma. I'm glad we had this little talk.
Archie Bunker's not exactly one of your dedicated churchgoers.
Haul it. I got something to say about this here. I ain't going through with none of these ceremonies or all that mumbo jumbo, some Catholic priest sprinkling incest over everybody.
Yet no one is more vocal in expressing his love for God and country. But I think Archie's interpretation of the Constitution would baffle its authors. And where he gets his version of the Bible, God only knows.
Read your story of Adam and Eve there. You know, Adam and Eve, they had it pretty soft out in paradise. They had no problems. They didn't even know they was naked. But Eve, she wasn't satisfied with that, see? And then one day, against direct order, she made poor Adam eat that apple. God got sore. He told him, eat your clothes on and get the hell out of here. Got a black president, Jefferson, because God ain't ready for that yet.
Wait a second.
That's right. God's got to try it out first by making a black pope, which he ain't done yet.
I don't understand.
It's very simple, Mrs. Bunker. I'm an agnostic.
Oh. You mean you want a rabbi?
It's worse than that, Edith. I think it means he can't have kids. I don't want to hear nothing more about women's problems. You don't hear men complaining about their problems, do you?
That's because men don't have any problems compared to women.
And that's God's will, so forget it.
You mean God's mistake.
Hey, God don't make no mistakes. That's how he got to be God.
In another episode...
I know you're in the cellar. Where's the cell door?
Say, what would the new lock on
it, Lord? Hang on, Mr. Bunker. I'm coming for you. Okay, I'm out of the door. Hold on, Mr. Bunker.
All right, I'm waiting for you.
Mr. Bunker?
A large black man finds Archie drunk and trapped in the cellar. Archie turns around and discovers that the man is black. Archie drops to his knees and stares up at the man.
Forgive me, Lord. The Jeffersons was right.
Many articles, letters, even sermons have been written about the character of Edith Bunker. Edward McNulty said of her in the Christian Century, Edith might think that Plato was a Walt Disney dog, that Aristotle is a Greek shipping magnat, and that Marx is a great comedian. But she possesses something better than factual knowledge, a knowledge of the heart, an insight into the soul.
Oh, I'll never forget the first time I made pot roast for your father. Only he wasn't your father then. We was just keeping company. I invited him to my house for dinner and I made him pot roast. And that was the first time he ever called me dingbat.
Well, that's awful, even if he didn't like your cooking.
Oh, no, he loved it.
Well, why'd he call you Dingbat?
Well, in them days, Archie was too shy to call me sweetheart or darling, so instead he called me his little Dingbat. And you know what? Ever since then, no matter how mad he says Dingbat, I always hear a little sweetheart in it.
For the life of me, I'll never understand women. The way they marry some guy who wants to make a damn fool of himself, but still they love him.
That's right, Archie.
Archie sneers, but Edith smiles lovingly. In another episode...
I'm all right, Ma.
Out there, I told you why you yell at Archie. Don't you want to hear why Archie yells at you?
Ma, I know why he yells at me. He hates me.
Oh, no, Mike. Archie yells at you because he's jealous of you.
Oh, Ma, I don't want to listen to this.
Wait a minute, you will. Listen to me, Archie is jealous of you.
Oh, come on.
Now, that ain't hard to understand. Mike, you're going to college, and you got your whole life ahead of you. Archie had to quit school to support his family. He ain't never going to be nothing more than he is right now. But you got a chance to be anything you want to be. That's why Archie's jealous of you. He sees in you all the things that he could never be. So the next time Archie yells at you, try to be a little more understanding. Now, you think that over, and when you're ready, come back in here with us and be with our friends.
Later.
I want to tell you something.
Oh, what?
I understand.
Mike stuns Archie with a hug. In another episode...
Take my pants!
You two sit over there. Go on.
Sit down. Listen to your mother.
And you listen, too.
Well, all right. Well, how did you get rid of that?
Now, when I was a little girl, my mother and father got into a terrible fight that started just because there wasn't enough maple syrup for my father's pancakes.
Ma, what we're arguing about here is a little bit more important than maple syrup.
Just a minute, I ain't finished. They didn't talk to each other for 3 whole weeks. And even after they made up, things was never the same between them. So before you two start saying things to each other that you'll never take back, stop and think how much you really mean to each other. Now, I know maple syrup is just a little thing, but would you rather break up over something bigger?
Lori,
Michael?
I'm sorry. You want to go upstairs?
Yeah.
Mike and Gloria shuffle toward the stairs.
Ma? I'm sorry I called you a nothing. You're really something.
Oh, thanks, Gloria. Happy birthday.
Oh.
Gloria hugs her mother.
Thank you, Ma. Good night.
She heads upstairs with Mike.
Archie, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Do you think I'm something?
You, Edith, are something else.
The best of all in the family. Gloria and Mike impersonate the Marx Brothers.
Watching Edith, you might get the impression that she's always cheerful and easygoing. The kind of lady who would never fight about anything. Not true. If the issue is important enough, Edith will stand up to anybody, including Archie.
I'm just trying to show you something.
Stifle!
Archie's eyes grow wide with surprise.
Archie, you can take your loss, but I ain't gonna take mine. You can go to a basketball game any day, but your 25th anniversary comes once in a lifetime. We're going to Atlantic City.
Edith stares Archie down. Later.
We're on our honeymoon.
Oh, now listen, now listen. Hey, take it easy with that stuff, huh? Well, your honeymoon is for kids, Zed. It's not for older people like you.
Archie, for your information, I'm at the prime of my life and at the height of my sexual attractiveness.
Edith bats her eyelashes. In another scene, she uses the telephone.
Yeah, I'll tell him. $10 on glowworm in the fifth. Here. Goodbye.
Edith, let me tell you something about beer. You can never buy beer. You can only rent it.
Archie laughs, but Edith turns her back on him.
Oh, look at you, Edith. You ain't got no sense of humor about certain things. Did I hear the phone go off?
Yeah.
Oh, who was it for?
It was for you.
For me? Well, who was it, huh?
It was glowing in the fifth.
She slaps him and runs upstairs. Host Henry Fonda.
Mike Stivick's life with the Bunkers isn't all peaches and Gloria, not with Archie around. Archie's a creature of habit, and his son-in-law is one habit he'd like to break.
I was worried about her last night. She wouldn't talk to me. It was like there was a pane of glass between us.
Do you know that we don't catch that fishing boat? There ain't gonna be no deep sea fishing. We'll have to stay on the dock with the old people here. Hold it. What are you doing here? What about the other foot?
Mike stops dressing.
There ain't no sock on it. I'll get to it. Don't you know that the whole world puts on a sock and a sock and a shoe and a shoe?
I like to take care of one foot at a time.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life.
It's just as quick my way.
Wait a minute, that ain't the point. You see what I told? Don't keep doing it. Listen to me. Suppose there's a fire in the house and you got to run for your life. Your way, all you got on is one shoe and a sock. My way, you got on a sock and a sock. You see, you're even.
Mike stares at him.
Suppose it's raining or snowing outside. Your way with a sock on each foot, my feet would get wet. My way with a sock and a shoe on one foot, I could hop around and stay dry.
In another scene.
You know something? I swear I think you do these things sometimes just to eat my heart out. And that's what you do, you know. Little by little, piece by piece, you eat my heart out.
I don't care.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Bunker.
No, let me tell you something, Mr. Stivick. You are a meathead.
What did you call me?
A meathead. Dead from the neck up. Meathead.
I see what your idea of a free country is. You're free to say anything you want, but if anyone disagrees with you, they're either thrown into jail or called a meathead, right?
That's right, because this is American land that I love.
Well, I love it too, Mr. Bunker, and it's because I do like protest when I think things are wrong.
And stand beside her. And guide her.
The right to dissent is the principle upon which this country was based.
With the light from above.
Listen to me. It's in the Bill of Rights.
From the mountains.
Why do you think we broke away from England
prairies,
to begin with, huh? Because we didn't agree
oceans,
with her. We demanded freedom.
With folks.
Gee, it's guys like you. It's guys like you who don't listen to reason. I mean, you're not listening
America,
to anything. You're totally
you
closed-minded. You're prejudiced. Not anymore. I'm leaving.
Get away from me. My home, sweet home.
Ever thought about all the words All in the Family's brought into general usage? Meathead, stifle, dingbat. And if someone says he's an Archie Bunker type, we know exactly what he means.
I know people. The reason you don't know nothing about people is you always got your big mouth open. You're never willing to listen to nobody.
How do you do, sir? May I have a moment of your time?
No.
Archie shuts the door.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to chime you. I'm going to give you exactly 5 minutes to get supper on the table. Hold it. Yeah, baby. Get set. Go.
Edith runs to the kitchen.
Like that.
What are you talking about? She loves it.
She frantically sets the table, then dashes back into the kitchen.
See that? What I tell you, she loves it. She's pretty fast, too.
In another episode...
If you're going to have a change of light, you got to do it right now. I'm going to give you just 30 seconds. Now, come on, change. I ain't faking it. This is a real pain here. Can't you hear that?
Baby, the pain is...
Are you thinking of psychosomatic?
Yeah, it's all up here.
Cut it out. I ain't got nothing up here. It's all down here.
He points to his head, then his lower back.
Archie has an explanation and a solution for everything. Unfortunately, his brand of logic makes a figure eight look like a straight line.
Did you know that 65% of the people murdered in the last 10 years were killed by handguns?
Would it make you feel any better, little girl, if they was pushed out of windows?
Wow, that's convoluted logic.
Yes, and that's the kind of straight thinking I'm trying to put across here.
I hate that Jake on TV.
Oh, I get it. When you thought he was talking about VD in a permissive society, he was smart, huh? You find out he's talking about gun control, he's a jerk.
That's right, and I'm going to prove it to you. How many people in this U.S. of A. would like to have guns?
Too many, thousands.
But how many people would like to have VD?
Archie appears on TV.
I want to talk about another thing that's on everybody's mind today, and that's your stick-ups and your skyjackers, which, if that was up to me, I could end the skyjackers tomorrow.
You could?
All you got to do is arm all your passengers. And then your airlines, then they wouldn't have to chase the passengers on the ground no more. They just pass out the pistols at the beginning of the trip, and they pick them up again at the end. Case closed.
The only mistake the White House made was just hiring a couple of screw-ups.
A couple of screw-ups?
That's right. They should have hired Japs instead of all them Krauts.
What?
Of course, the Japs are better than the Krauts in electronics. And if the Japs get caught, they do the right thing. They kill themselves. His pal, Roger, is as queer as a $4 bill, and he knows it.
That's not only cruel, Daddy, that's an outright lie.
You know something, Archie? Just because a guy is sensitive and he's an intellectual and he wears glasses, you make him out a queer.
I never said a guy who wears glasses is a queer. A guy who wears glasses is a four eyes. A guy who is a fag is a queer.
What are you and Henry Jefferson going to do when you get caught?
What do you mean we get caught? We ain't doing nothing crooked.
No! While the Estradas are thinking it over, you and Henry are trying to find somebody else to buy the house.
You don't call that crooked?
No! That's looking out for number one.
Where does that place Henry Jefferson?
He's number two.
Why is he number two?
Because, meathead, there can only be one number one and one number two. And life made Jefferson number two long before I come along.
Puerto Ricans are number three, then,
Well, no, not necessarily there, little girl. Your Puerto Ricans could be four. Your Japs and your Chins could be three. 3A, 3B.
Crazy!
Are you going to use those crib notes on your exam?
Well, certainly I'm going to use them. I'm going to have them right here in this pot in case I need them.
Daddy, that's cheating!
What do you mean, cheating? That ain't cheating. Is when you're supposed to give something to somebody else and you don't give it. That's cheating. Now, me, I'm taking a test. I'm supposed to give them the right answers. That's what I'm going to give my answer.
You're not being honest with yourself.
I certainly am, little girl. I sat down. I asked myself a question. I said, can you pass this history exam without them little piece of paper? And I gave myself an honest answer. No, you can't.
Picture puzzle.
Guess which well-known couple have just had a fight.
In the kitchen, Mike gathers sandwich fixings. He peels off a slice of bologna, then puts the rest of the stack on his bread. He folds an entire package of cheese and adds it to the sandwich. Mike adds a slice of ham, then pauses and adds another. He slaps on the rest of the ham before picking the sandwich up.
Gloria?
Mike looks to the living room, then reconsiders and turns back to his sandwich. Taking a bite, he grabs a jar of mustard from the fridge. Gloria walks in, but they ignore each other. Mike adds mustard to his sandwich as Gloria pours herself a glass of milk.
Excuse me?
Gloria steps aside, allowing Mike to open the fridge. While his back is turned, Gloria starts peeling his hard-boiled egg. Mike spots her, saunters over, and puts his hands on his hips. They stare at one another. She resumes her egg peeling. Turning back to the fridge, Mike grabs another egg. He cracks the egg, and raw yolk splatters everywhere. Gloria stifles her laugh. In another scene...
My feet are cold.
Wait, Gloria,
just a second.
Mike grabs a wig.
Just for me. Put the wig on, huh? It makes you look so different.
Different? Makes me look so different. Michael, I may be slow, but it's finally getting through to me. I only appeal to you when I have this dumb wig on.
Gloria, that's not true.
Michael, it's not me. It's this pile of hair from Kressler's that's getting to you. I just happen to be standing underneath it.
That's not true. I love you with or without the wig. It's just that right now I'd like you with the wig.
Sure you would. Because that way you can mess around with a different girl without cheating on your wife.
You're calling me a sickie, Gloria? You're the sick one. You're jealous of your own wig.
In another episode...
I mean, take the animal kingdom. The male is always in charge.
Oh, yeah? Did you ever hear of a king bee?
What?
The female who runs the hive.
Gloria, look, all I'm trying to say is that a man's sex drives are different.
Oh, don't tell me about your drives, Michael. Mine are just as strong as yours. And if it gives me pleasure once in a while to be the pursuer, the least you can do is deliver.
All right, Gloria, get off the couch and come back upstairs. Let's go.
Get lost.
I can see you're acting like a child. That's right, you're acting like a child. I'm gonna have to treat you like one. Come on, you're coming back upstairs. Let's go.
See, look, it's all right. They made up.
Gloria slaps Mike, and he puts her down, stunned.
When we were looking through the past 99 shows, we found ourselves wondering what was the scene which got the longest laugh in All in the Family.
In the living room, Edith plays piano while guests look on, and Mike stands before a priest wearing a goofy grin. Mike and the others glance back at the stairs.
Promise never to do it again. Will you let me go?
Okay, Mr. Warren, but it's the last time. Now beat it.
Thank you, Sergeant. thank you.
In the police station, an old man in a trench coat spots Edith and Mike. He considers, then unbuttons the coat and flashes them. A police officer whisks him away. In another scene,
good old boys.
Archie opens a bottle of champagne.
Oh, Archie!
This is the appreciation you get for making a big decision to bring a kid into this world.
Oh, big decision. Come off it, Arch. The only reason a lot of people have kids is because they forget to make a trip to the drugstore.
Edith and Archie share a look of discomfort.
Finally, well, don't just take our word for it. Why don't you clock this one for yourselves?
Mr. Davis, this is an unexpected pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Can I get a picture, Mr. Davis?
Come on, Munson, no pictures.
Oh, no, this one is for me. Mr. Munson, would you stand over there? I want one picture taken with Archie Bunker, my friend, and me.
You want me?
Yes. Now, on three, okay? One, two, three.
Sammy Davis Jr. kisses Archie. Sammy leaves, but Archie remains frozen with shock.
We've talked about Archie and bigotry. We've talked about Mike and his problems. We've talked about the growth of Gloria, the independence and strength that lies underneath the sweetness and love of Edith. But I often think that the things one remembers most in all of television are moments. Very special moments.
Hey, put them up. See if you remember anything I taught you with the Dukes, huh? Come on, put them up.
No,
get them up.
Daddy,
get them up.
Daddy,
come on. What are you doing?
Daddy,
hey,
don't.
Look out
for
that one. I could have got you there.
Daddy, I'm too old for this now. I'm not your little girl anymore.
Don't you never tell me that.
Edith stirs in bed with Archie asleep beside her. Archie wakes up.
I eat it.
Not now, Archie. I ain't in the mood.
He turns on his bedside light.
Well, what?
About this little spat we've been having around here all week.
Yeah, Archie?
Well, you know, all them names I was calling, like a saint and needed the good, and saying he wasn't human and all. I just want to say that, you know...
You're sorry.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said it, Archie.
In another episode...
Archie, Gloria lost the baby.
What are you talking about? What do you mean by that?
But the doctor says she's going to be fine.
She lost the baby?
Yes, Archie.
She lost the baby.
Archie places a giant stuffed panda in Edith's chair.
Archie.
Later, upstairs.
Come in.
Archie enters Gloria's bedroom.
Hi, Daddy.
Hi, sweetheart. How you feeling? Hey, you look pretty good there.
I didn't do a very good job, did I?
Who said that? Some dopey doctor.
Oh, no. Daddy, stop.
Oh, gee whiz.
You want to say something?
Well, not tonight.
You love me.
He allows a slight nod.
I love you too, Daddy.
Gloria holds Archie's hand, and he looks up at her with watery eyes.
There are very few shows that can blend the smile and the tear. Sometimes when I'm watching All in the Family, it's hard to tell which is the larger, the laugh or the lump in the throat.
Edith emerges from a hotel bathroom wearing a negligee and silky robe.
Here I am.
Archie raises his brow and looks her up and down.
Hey, baby. You know, you look kind of pretty standing there. Gee, that's funny. You look just like you did 25 years ago.
Thank you, Archie.
Come on, let's kill this bottle of champagne, huh?
Wait, I'm gonna make a toast. Thank you for a wonderful 25 years.
Well, lady, thank you too. After all, I couldn't have did it without you.
They sip their champagne. Archie takes her glass away.
Well, Edith?
Well, what?
Well, this.
Archie kisses her, long and hard.
Well, that's some of the best of All in the Family. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. What can you say about the wonderful cast we've just been laughing at? They're talented, hardworking, and hungry. Good night.
Mike, Gloria, Edith, and Archie fill their plates at the dinner table. They all randomly reach over each other to serve themselves. Executive producer Don Nickel. Produced by Michael Ross and Bernie West. Copyright 1974, Tandem Productions Incorporated. CBS, a Bud York and Norman Lear Tandem Production. Edith watches as Archie liberally douses his roast beef with ketchup. Noticing her watching, he grins and pours even more on. In another scene, Mike points at Archie, and Archie burps.
Viacom.